Hey guys, it's your lady gang, Jack Vanek, Kelty Knight, and Becca Tobin. Thank you so much for subscribing on iTunes, and thanks for supporting the great sponsors who make it possible for us to have this much fun with you every single week for free.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the lady gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The lady gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Picking off my gel manicure as we do.
I just did that.
Oh, I just got mine done yesterday.
I'm so mad at myself.
I know. I might go get a manicure tonight.
Thing. There has to be a better way.
There has to be a better way.
Is there a better way?
I don't think there is.
You guys, my nervous tick is like picking at my cuticles.
Yeah.
So I've gotten to the point where I have to get a manicure once a week.
Wow. Really?
Or else I'll like.
But you don't get gel.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, she does.
You get a
but I get clear gel, so it only it's like cheap. But like my nails are.
I don't think they look nice. Anyway, welcome to the Lady Gang.
Welcome to Lady Gang. It's time for
Good Week.
Yes, it is.
Bad Week.
Oh no!
So, Kelty has seen this already, but have you seen the Lady Gang quiz?
Yeah.
Have you taken it?
No. I think I know who I am.
For sure. This is my Good Week. I took it thinking because there's some answers that I'm like I could pick.
A couple
of these on here. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do I want to go rogue and pick the answer that's like not.
Do you want to tell the world what you're talking about?
The Lady Gang quiz.
On BuzzFeed.
On BuzzFeed. Mm-hmm. Which, by the way, was made by one of our producers.
Was it?
Lauren made it.
Oh. Yeah. I thought we were cool enough.
Of course
she did.
We cool
she's
too.
A Kelty.
Yeah.
Mm. Lauren is such a Kelty.
I thought that somebody over at BuzzFeed.
We no. were cool enough what, to get
that
a quiz.
That we were cool enough to get
well,
a BuzzFeed
don't tell the world.
Quiz. It was they a self-made quiz.
By
God.
One of our producers.
It's like I made it.
Pretty much you.
God.
It's our producer.
Is it the
that is
same
you.
As calling the paparazzi on yourself if you make your own BuzzFeed quiz?
Yes.
Yeah, but we didn't do it.
That's true. A fan did.
I shouldn't have said it, but
we
I
might
did.
Pay her, but she's still a fan.
I did look at the, I was like, oh, contributing writer. And I was like, wait a second. Isn't that the name of our producer?
Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got Kelty when I did it.
I got Jack.
Mm-hmm. And Chris Knight got Jack.
I won't be doing it.
Knew it.
Because I am a Becca.
It was funny because
if you didn't take it, you guys, and you have no desire to take it, you're a Becca.
Yeah. Well, the person that posted it in the Facebook that was like, if you're going to take this quiz, you're a Kelty.
Yeah.
I only took it because I was part of the quiz. Yeah. I would have never taken a quiz that was not about myself.
Good. But, at least you know.
But that's like just a narcissistic trait.
So that was your Good Week?
That's mm-hmm. my Good Week. But everybody should take it to get us some like views on BuzzFeed. My bad week is a by proxy bad week.
Mm.
One of my friends woke up the other morning and she had a fraud charge on her credit card.
Mm.
So she goes to investigate it. And it turns out that somebody like stole her, somehow got into her Postmates login and purchased $600 worth of Panda Express food.
That sounds delicious.
I don't even know if you can get up to $600 on
their
menu.
Did they buy a franchise?
Wait,
sick.
So hold on. How does Postmates work? So when the Postmate order goes into the app, does the Postmate pay for it up front and then get paid back from Postmates?
No, I think Postmates calls it in.
Postmates
Someone
calls it
Postmates
in.
Postmates calls it in.
Mm.
And then the driver's completely.
So the ring, the fraud ring is actually Postmates.
No. It's someone just.
Somebody stole. I don't know if somebody stole her
they
credit card
just
or
stole
somehow
her credit
hacked
card.
Into
oh.
her Postmates.
I was thinking like you would order six. I ordered $600 at Panda Express, but then the till just gave me $600 cash. Like it was some sort of like fraudulence.
Like a money laundering.
Yeah, money laundering.
No. But that guy just must have been super high and ordered like everything off the menu. But I'm like, you know what? Good on you. Like you're not trying to buy a TV. You just want like a.
Panda Express.
I was at a wedding recently, and I was so drunk that at like 4 a.m, I ordered $350 worth of In-N-Out.
What?
To the bar for everyone on Postmates.
Oh,
but I was like, I need 100 chicken sandwiches.
Did it
50
all get
fries.
Eaten?
Chicken it all came. Everyone ate it. It was delicious.
Where
I had a quesadilla.
Where were you?
From In-N-Out?
It was so weird.
Kelty, you can't.
Was it In-N-Out or was it?
No. You can't get a quesadilla or a
it
chicken sandwich
been,
from In-N-Out.
Well, I could look on my Postmates. It was maybe a different Burger
where
King.
Where were you?
I was like in Santa Barbara or something.
You
and
can,
like, you know,
how
it's so important
you?
At weddings to have late night snacks.
It is.
You need to provide
it's also
drunk food for your guests.
Important at weddings just to have an In-N-Out truck so this doesn't happen.
That's true.
That's whatever. What I want.
Anyway.
Well, speaking of burgers, this is, leads me to my bad week. So I've been eating the fuck out of my life.
Because me here's too. Same. Why?
I don't know.
I had McDonald's last night.
I had a revelation, though. The difference between my body when I'm really good and diligent
is
and when I'm a disaster is not that big.
No, this is what we've been talking about forever. Yeah, nobody notices.
I also don't wear tight clothes. So who's seeing it, Zach? Who cares? Like, I literally wear moo-moos every day of my life. I don't care if I'm 90 pounds or 190 pounds. I'm going to dress like this.
You could gain 50 pounds, and with the clothes that you wear, you would not be able to.
It doesn't matter. So, like, I just had this revelation. I'm like, I'm not single. I'm probably going to be bearing children in the next couple years. Why am I going to break my back?
Get that body ready to produce a baby.
Exactly. So, but here's the thing. I've gone too far. This is where I'm coming in. It's been the holidays. I've just been – it's not even about my body anymore and how it looks. It's just about my insides, you know, how they feel.
It's like in a knot.
It's in a knot. I feel like my – like I just feel gross. So I was like, I'm going to get it back together. We got back in town. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to hit the ground running. Every day I put it off because every day I eat something shitty.
Isn't that what we do?
Well, today it's 10 a.m. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do my intermittent fasting. I'm going to wait till 2 to eat. I'm going to do my thing. It's going
to
be great.
Wait, what do you usually eat from 2 to 1? 8?
2 to 8 usually.
I do like 6.
Yeah. So I'm like, you know, I'm going to do it. And then I see Astro Burger.
And it's so 10
a.m. And their veggie burger with jalapenos on it is the best thing I could eat in my whole life.
Yeah.
It is insane. So I go through the drive-thru. It's 10 a.m. And I ate a burger and fries in my car at 10 a.m. today.
I'm so jealous.
What the f*** is wrong with me?
I know. The other day, I had 2 sausage McMuffins with no sausage and 4 hash browns and a McCafe at like 9 a.m.
What's a sausage McMuffin without a sausage?
It's just an egg and cheese on a bun.
Oh, that's funny because I usually do an egg McMuffin with no ham.
That's what I was saying.
But the sausage is smarter because the sausage one comes with a better biscuit.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Anyway, okay, well, this is riveting.
McDonald's chat.
Anyways, my good week is that Dirty John started.
Yeah, I've watched it.
I watched the first episode. Listen, nothing's going to beat the podcast.
No.
I know, because podcasts are awesome.
I'm still on the fence, but I'm just really happy that I have something that I can watch and be excited about.
Mm-hmm. My mom watched it, and she was a little bit disappointed.
I'm hopeful that it might get better.
I heard that it was, like, the most watched something or other.
Really?
Cable.
Well, that's what you get when you turn a podcast into a TV
show. I'm just excited that they're putting true crime on networks like Bravo.
Yeah.
Boom. Because.
Boom.
Women want it.
Yeah.
Kelty?
Good week. I had a visceral, vivid dream that I gave up working at Entertainment Tonight and the Lady Gang.
This is a good week
to
a bad
become
week?
This is my good week. To become Kris Jenner's assistant. And I was inside her 6-story house with multiple staircases. And it was my first day. And I was trying to hide the fact that I was Kelty from Entertainment Tonight. I didn't want them to get the wrong idea about me, like I was going to sell stories about them in my dream.
Incredible.
So anyway, Kris was like, you can do this. First of all, their house was a mess. I was constantly picking up things. There was cocaine on the table. It was the most vivid dream. Scott was there.
Disick.
Yeah. I was in the kitchen and there was just like cups and plates everywhere. I was piles of clothing. Anyway, Kim came over and she was like, I know who you are. And I was like, but I'm not there anymore. The whole glam squad was there. It was like the old glam squad. It was like Joyce and Jen Atkin. Like everyone was there. And I was trying to be like in the – anyway, at the end of the dream, the kids have left and it's just Kris Jenner. She's on her like 4th story and the 4th story has – 2 staircases that go up to an open room, and it's just a giant bathtub. And Kris Jenner's in the bubble bath.
Amazing.
And she's just screaming orders at me from the bubble bath so she can like shout down into her foyer. Like it's on like a cruise ship, like the middle section is like 6 stories high. And she's just cruising down. Anyway, it was amazing. It was so vivid that I woke up and I was like, I know my life's calling and it's not what I'm doing right now. I need to make a big change. I am meant to be Kris Jenner's assistant.
I think that is a calling. I also have to say, I hate nothing more in life than people telling me about their dreams. Becca knows.
But that was a good one.
It's like when people hand me a video to watch on their phone.
Yes.
Never show me. I don't care if it's a banana coming out of a hamster, like flying on fire, twirling a baton. Like, I don't want to see your video on
and
YouTube.
I don't want to hear about your dreams, but that was a really good one. Thank I enjoyed you. It because it was, here's the problem with people telling you me about their dreams. It's always like so disconjoined and you're trying to explain something that's almost like intangible to somebody.
No, this was a full story.
Yeah, that was amazing.
I quit my job.
Good job.
Kim called me out for being a reporter.
She would.
Chris was yelling
Chris
at
was
you.
In the bubble bath. The end. I went home.
It was really
okay,
good.
Okay, here's my bad week. We received an email.
Oh God. Here we go.
This is all it said. Who and what would watch a group of shrill, vile, repugnant, loathsome, offensive, heinous, repulsive, skanky sluts? ?
Holy shit.
It's like they went on thesaurus.com.
Yeah, and then just used and they all put the words.
Like, words for gross. Yeah. And then they just like nobody uses this, no one uses heinous.
I would rather be a slutty, skanky, repugnant person than the loser that emails the lady gang.
You watch a TV show. You like seek us out on Instagram to find our email address to email us a hate mail. Like, thank you.
It's
you
probably,
took a lot of time out of your day. For
I feel like I know who this person is. I feel like it's probably the cheer
girl,
mom, the cheer mom that hated me. From my cheerleading squad in middle school.
Oh, it could be the girl that burnt her lady box.
I was going to say that.
No, it's like someone who knows us.
Yeah. She's like, you're vile. I'm like, thank you. Trying to be different here in Hollywood. Paving the way.
Honestly, thanks.
Thank you.
Next. Okay, next is Sarah Drew. She's here.
She's adorable.
Now back to the Lady Gang.
Our guest today was a longtime resident at Seattle Grace when she starred on Grey's Anatomy, but you probably fell in love with her when she was starring on Everwood. Were you in that cult? I was. But what you might not know is that you can listen to her sweet, beautiful voice narrate some of your favorite audiobooks, too.
Ooh.
She's got a new Lifetime Christmas movie called Christmas Pen Pals. Yes. And most importantly, she's famous enough for Us Weekly to feature her in the coveted What's in My Bag section. So while reading her What's in My Bag interview, I learned she just read Daring Greatly by Brené Brown.
Oh, I love
so
that
yes,
book.
She is daring greatly, but does she dare to hang with the gang? I guess she does because she showed up and didn't cancel. Please welcome to the Lady Gang, Sarah Drew.
You're stuck now.
I'm here and I love it. I've got a dog sniffing at me.
I know. I also have to say, I think you're the first guest that's ever been early.
Oh, yeah. I'm early. I'm awkwardly early always. I, in fact, got here so early I parked outside of the studio for like 10 minutes before entering the lot.
Are you Canadian?
Wouldn't that make sense?
It would. I love an on-time person. I'm going to like high-five you across the table.
I hate being late. I hate doing it. But that means I'm always awkwardly early.
No, it's good.
It's so much better than the other.
It is.
That's my life, the alternative, where it's like I'm racing through the door 5 minutes with my underwear
like
around
sweaty
my shoe.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm not going to make it. Okay, so you have this new Christmas movie. It comes out December 15th. And have you always loved a Christmas movie? What was it like? Do you decorate? Are you a holiday person? Or are you like, I actually hate Christmas. I'm the Grinch, but...
No, I am a huge holiday fan. I've always been a huge holiday fan. I love Christmas movie music. I love Christmas movies. Although, you know, what's funny is that my Christmas movie will be the first TV Christmas movie I have ever seen.
What?
I know that sounds crazy, but I love like Elf. I could recite to you from start to finish. And National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Hello,
right,
my
yes.
whole family recites that to one another. You know, Love Actually. All those I would die for. But this is the first time I will have ever seen a TV holiday movie.
And
I'm heartbroken, Sarah. You did not watch my TV Christmas.
Sorry, I did not.
You really?
What was yours called? Because the titles are
the titles
always
are
amazing.
So good.
They're
so good.
Song for Christmas.
A song? Did you sing?
I played a country music star.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Now she do it so well.
I did a fun game. Okay, so. Well, I have a game for you, but I thought it would be fun. So your movie is called Christmas Pen Pals, mm-hmm. and the sort of running joke that with like any of the holiday movies is that the plot can sometimes be the same.
It always is the same.
Yes,
so
I think it always
I think
is
we're
the same.
Each going to give a synopsis
of what we
of
think
what
it is.
Christmas okay, Pen Pals
okay,
is, and then you can tell us
okay,
what
oh,
it is.
Okay, oh, I love
okay.
It.
Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Okay,
I need to think.
Christmas
Sarah
Pen Pals
plays a young nurse. Named Molly. She's working in a big city. She works all night. She's an ER nurse. She works all night long. And then one of the children patients comes in and has a pen pal across the pond in the UK.
Ooh.
Oh,
fancy.
And it's another child whose dad is a widower.
Ooh.
And so then Molly the nurse starts writing the father, the widower, and they plan a surprise trip for the two pen pals, the sick kids, to meet up with each other.
Oh. This should actually be one.
Okay. Okay.
Listen, oh, my God.
Molly and Sarah. Said father from the UK with a hot accent and skinny jeans fall in love. And they live happily
That's so
ever
good.
After.
Sarah, don't comment.
I'm not
don't
comment.
No, no comment. No comment.
Jack Vanek is next.
Mine will be a simpler thing because I'm not an actress and I can't, like, figure out a whole world through a character. I envision this being a boy and a girl who are, like, pen pals in grade school that they never met from, like, different cities, and they write each other all the time on Christmas every single year. And then when they're, like, 30 years old, they end up meeting in real life on Christmas and falling in love.
Okay. Like that's pretty good. That's a good one. Okay. Mine is...
Kelsey's probably thought about this for days.
Yeah. No. I haven't. I just made it up.
She's like, let me get my notes out.
I just made this up on the spot. Okay.
It's like improv. She's like, and what is it?
So this guy keeps sending unsolicited dick pics.
Oh, this is Jack's Christmas pen pal. This is my real life Christmas pen pal movie.
And all of a sudden, she's at Burning Man, and everyone is naked, and she's like, I've seen this penis before.
Oh my God, no, and the dick pic has a Santa hat on the end of it with googly eyes.
Sexting pen pals.
And then you're like, actually,
it's a modern day pen pal. It's sliding through the DMs.
So, actually, Brian, I would like to meet up. Thanks for sending me a picture of your penis.
So what
you guys, these are all really amazing ideas, and I think that we should all together pitch them for next season.
Yeah. Yes, I agree.
Think all three of them would be amazing. But this one is, in fact, about a girl from a small town who's been working in the big city.
Always.
High power job. She's a tech guru. She created an app, a dating app.
Of course
and it was going extremely well, but now the magic is gone because she's not able to infuse it with what it really means to fall in love. And so
because she's never been in love.
She has never been in love.
Is she using this thing?
No. Well, she has. Okay. She has, but she basically, like, sends automated messages
to her
people. Does
she have straight hair in this movie?
No, they never have straight hair. No, we're all curly. We're all curly.
Blowout with
yes. Yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
Like
you can't have so straight hair in a
Christmas
movie.
The leads in all of the Christmas movies.
I had a center part at one point, and they were like,
we can't do a center part.
That is not okay.
This is too modern.
This is amazing.
So she basically has to, she gets dumped on an email from the guy she's been dating through her app.
Of course.
Because it's not working. And she gets sent home to go try to reconnect and figure out what it means to fall in love again. And when she's home, you discover the backstory is that she lost her mom 9 years ago. So her dad is alone and she's never gotten over that heartbreak. And she reconnects with her ex-boyfriend who she
is
broke up
farmer.
With when her mom... He's not a farmer, but he's a rugged cafe owner.
He's a... Oh, I was going to say...
Ooh, is he hot?
He's rugged.
Yes.
He's a small business owner.
And I'm like, girls, go for the billionaire. And they're like, I think I'll get a barista.
Yeah.
He wears a flannel.
Does he have like a nice scruff going on?
A very nice scruff. Very nice.
Was he a Canadian actor?
He was, of course, a Canadian actor named Niall Mader, who's amazing.
Wait, that's...
That was his. Is he yours? Did we both have Niall Mader?
I just did a Hallmark movie with Niall Mader.
Oh, God. Here we go.
That's insane.
That's so amazing. I love
him. Did he ever tell you the story of how he met
Yes.
Oh, I know this story.
It's the most insane story ever.
Talk about Christmas pen pals.
That's you guys.
Yeah, it is. I know.
Can I
tell you, but like our two stories are very, like he was writing to her. My story with my husband is my husband wooed me through handwritten letters. So anyway, the Christmas pen pals movie is that the small town is doing this tradition that happened years and years ago, and they're doing it again, where a matchmaker sets people up anonymously with pen pals, and you have to write to each other for 2 weeks leading up to Christmas Eve, and then you reveal to each other. So I agree to do it because my dad makes me do it, and because I'm doing it for research,
right?
To find old-fashioned ways to fall in love, and I'm fall in love with this guy, but we don't know who it is.
There's a rugged barista.
I don't know.
Who would it be?
Wait, this is amazing. We kissed the same
we
way.
Have kissed
Eskimo
same
sisters.
Way. Weird. That's on the Instagram, we have to do it side by side with our movie posters with Niall Maynard.
I know. I love it. I love it.
He's so nice.
He's the best. He's so great. Absolute best. Wow. So much.
Wow, that's so funny.
Hallmark.
Ooh. Can you do that?
Scandal.
Wait, what channel was yours on?
Lifetime.
Oh. Are they not owned by the same people?
They're rivals.
No, they are definitely rivals.
Are you guys going to fight before this is over?
I think we might fight.
No, women do not fight in either of those worlds.
That's true.
They're so supportive of each other. So I saw in your Us Weekly, What's in My Bag, you were reading this book, Daring Greatly.
Oh my gosh.
And I want to know from each girl at the table what the biggest risk you ever took was.
Oh, God.
What?
I don't know. That's like one of those questions I can never think of.
Getting married. Because it's permanent.
It's like this filler will definitely go away eventually.
This filler will dissolve.
The Botox will wear off.
You can take everything back.
Even in auditions, sometimes you have to get yourself pumped up and brave enough to do it. But that's really just... I mean, compared to marriage, that's nothing.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's a temporary commitment.
Jack,
I don't know.
I know what it is.
What?
When we were doing the Lady Gang photo shoot and you wore a full blouse.
Oh, my God. Not a crop
She's
top.
She's always in a crop top.
That was a risk. I'm like, am I myself without a crop top? I'm not sure.
I didn't know. Sure.
And I made it out on top.
You did.
That was it. You're right.
Asshole.
I can't think of a real one right now.
Really amazing.
I think I always feel like daring when I saved up and bought my first house.
Ooh.
Because I had to borrow $25,000 from my parents because I literally was just short of having a down payment. And so it's like when you empty every account I have $7.
That's so scary.
And you're am I going to have a job next month? Will I be able to afford this in the long term? That was really scary.
Yeah.
That is super scary. There's a lot of big scary. Mine is related to getting married. It's actually staying married when we went through a really, really, really hard time. Because everything in my body was telling me, run!
Oh, shit.
And just because it was hard. You know, marriage is not easy.
It's
not
How long have you been married?
I've been married now 16 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Did you get married when you were 9?
I know. Yeah, 9 years old. No. We were 7 years into our relationship. And it's interesting. The book,
with
Daring
Greatly.
Wait,
the seven-year itch?
Yeah. Yeah, it was seven-year itch. And it was a lot of you know, Daring Greatly is a lot about – she talks a lot about vulnerability and a lot about shame.
Yeah.
And I think I thought walking into marriage, you kind of think – you have these ideals, especially when you get married really young, because I got married really young. We're going to work this. We're going to be amazing. We're going to have an amazing marriage. And then you hit these roadblocks and things start to chip away and you go, wait, hang on. Why can't I fix this? Mm-hmm. But there's shame that comes in to actually say it out loud and to ask somebody for help. So then stuff can kind of pile up when you hold all that inside because you're ashamed and you're not vulnerable enough to actually let someone into what the issues are.
Yeah.
So really, I think that was the biggest act of vulnerability was finally speaking aloud. Mm-hmm. There's an issue here and we need to figure it out. And then the other mountain of when I'm in pain, do I stay or do I fight hard in this? And it was a big risk. I think it's a big risk to kind of fight hard and go into therapy, which can be brutal for especially at the beginning, it can be really hard. But the beautiful thing was that I learned so much in that room about myself and about my husband, and we fell totally in love all over again in a completely new and brilliant way.
I just went through a year like that with my husband, and I think the falling in love the second time, when you think I might be – I mean, not – I wasn't ready to walk away, but when you're in a period where it's not great and then you find yourselves again, you're it's almost sweeter in a way.
I think it's 1,000 times – I just got chills thinking about it, but I think it's 1,000 times sweeter. I mean, I remember coming out on the other side because so much of the stuff was about me not – understanding my own value. Mm. And so, and I would project that onto him. Like, mm-hmm. you're not giving me my value, but it's not his job to give it to me, actually. Yeah. You know, and it was my job to learn how to communicate with him and his job to learn how to communicate love to me. Mm-hmm. But figuring out what that, like, self-worth and that mm-hmm. value and that you matter just because you are who you are, like, that's self-work. That's not something he can fix in me, and I can't demand that he does. So I do, being in that therapy, going through the pain of feeling like the marriage was broken, led me to do that kind of self-healing.
Yeah.
And I you know, we came out just so much stronger, so I'm, you know, I'm so grateful.
Damn. Okay.
But it was risky because you never know what's going to happen, you know?
That is amazing.
Yeah.
It really is.
That's a good therapist.
Yeah, shit.
Honey.
But it's also, like, being in the industry that we're in, like, so much of our self-worth, it comes with what you're doing at the moment mm-hmm. in your career. Mm-hmm. And is your husband in the business?
Not at all.
Yeah, neither is mine. Mm-hmm. And so it's, like, really hard to not make those people be responsible for making you feel okay about yourself because mm-hmm. you're not feeling good at whatever those moments are.
I'm just
saying, like, and then yep. as an actor, you have to go through that whole thing without your husband to be like, that can't determine how I feel about myself. Mm-hmm. But that's impossible.
It is so hard. I have one of my, like, favorite examples of the way that the world looks at you when you're in the spotlight is mm-hmm. is going to the People's Choice Awards. I was walking the carpet with Jesse Williams, actually. And at first, we're walking the carpet, everyone's like, ah, yeah, Sarah Jesse. And then Catherine McPhee came on, uh-huh. and all of the cameras went like that, and they were like, Catherine, and it was
you're like,
so
oh, okay,
it was mind. So absurd that Jesse was actually like, why are you guys calling me Catherine? Like, it was so absurd, but the enormity of the showering of glory and fame and praise, yeah. and then immediately
until there's something
absolutely
better.
You're nothing. You're literally less than nothing.
Yep.
And I just feel like that is such, like, an all-encompassing mm-hmm. example of yeah. what it is to walk in this business, because you're on fire for 5 seconds yep. and then you're, what are you doing now? Oh, you're not doing anything. You don't matter. And if you allow mm-hmm. those voices to define you, mm-hmm. you're just going to be tossed on the wind over and over and over again. And you're not going to have any anchor and any grounding. And it's bad news. But it's hard. But even if you do have, like, a real sense of yourself and a real sense of grounding and people in your life, you still feel it.
Yeah.
You still feel it. It's a daily struggle.
It's so hard.
I think.
Should we quit?
I think this is a turning point for both of you.
But the highs are so good. Well, I mean, what it's about, so fun when you get to do it, know. You know? And when you
well,
get to do
you
what you love.
Well, and you got onto, like, a hit show. Mm-hmm. I did the same thing. It was Glee. It was running and running and
yes.
running. So then it's like you're not even going through that process where those original cast members were like, oh, it's kind of a gradual – we don't know how the pilot's going to be.
Right.
We don't know how people are going to think
you
of
came
it.
On while it was already
on
fire.
While the show was on fire.
Yeah.
So then you join, and it's like all this attention, like, I'm sure you dealt mm-hmm. with. But mm-hmm. then as soon as you're done, it's like,
who are you?
You're invisible.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
insane.
Yeah.
It's
do you think that there's something that when you are, like, on such hit shows that then when you go back into the rooms and start auditioning, does it hurt you because people are like, oh, that's that girl from that, and they don't want to put you on a new show? Because you see the same – I feel like you see the same guy character actors over and over again,
yeah.
and I feel like the girls are always changing, and, like, it must be difficult.
Or you've talked about the fact it's like you see the same people in those audition rooms and
yeah.
people that look exactly like
oh, yeah.
you
oh,
that
oh,
are,
yeah.
like, maybe younger and hotter. Like, that has to be, like, the hardest.
God.
I'm, like, totally outside of that world,
yeah.
but, like – I've heard from, like, Becca a lot about it, but, like, that
– it's just brutal.
Yeah.
I don't know how you guys do it.
Yeah. I think it's just – I once was in a casting session with a friend of mine, and I was totally on the other side of the
table. I love that you're wearing,
like,
a fur coat right now, too.
I'm freezing.
No, I know. I really
– well, because Kelsey put the AC on, even though it's –
I wanted to be too stuck in here, but then she showed up in this, like, giant purse. She's like, my time in Hollywood. I was like, are you Elizabeth Taylor? Like, what's going on?
With your hair.
With your
hoops.
Really good. She's got a t-shirt on underneath it. So I feel Fleetwood.
I look like this because I had an audition right before this. Normally, I look like a garbage human.
Normally, she looks like me.
You're so glamorous right now.
I took a dinner after this. This is not my true self. My true self is the loser who got a People's Choice nomination. No, a Teen Choice nomination.
Yes.
And didn't even win that, okay?
Well, you know what? It's a nomination.
Better
you
than
didn't get
people.
A surfboard. I'm sorry.
Out of all the awards, that that's the one you can use. It's practical. No, this
is it's true. Definitely not even a real surfboard.
I mean, what do you think it's made out of?
I think it is a real
plastic.
Surfboard.
Is it real?
Mm. So, but surfboards are made out of plastic.
Whatever. Anyway, okay. Are you guys ready for? Wait.
Wait. Did we even? I don't even know if we answered that.
I don't think we did.
Well, did you have trouble? Like, was people only seeing you as like the girl from ER or Grey's Anatomy ER? Yeah. This is 20 years ago.
Nice.
I just took a time travel.
I don't actually know yet. I mean, because yeah. I basically right after you know I did a pilot. I was on set shooting a pilot a week after I was
wow.
let go from
oh,
that's kind of which was crazy.
So you didn't even have the time to be like, oh no.
I had no time to process anything. It was the weirdest week of my life.
Wow.
And then I was waiting, and then I did the pilot, and then went back and finished Grey's, and then was waiting, and then found out the pilot didn't get picked up, and then I was like, okay, well, let's just set up a million meetings with all yeah. the casting people because I haven't been in any rooms
in
like
a decade.
Years.
Yeah.
You know, like I just want to, they yeah. might know who I am if they watch the show, but I want to be in a room and speaking to them and saying hi. And it was actually really lovely. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have a job now yet, but
right. yeah.
No, but actually one of those meetings was at Lifetime. And then like a week later I got this Christmas pen pals
See,
offer.
It
so
works.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
But I haven't gotten the sense that they're just like, oh, you're only April Kepner and that's all you are. I mean, I just think because there's so much stuff happening now
yeah.
that I, you know, I think it's a disservice
it's the right thing,
to
yeah.
pigeonhole anyone,
yeah.
you know.
Bravo. Are you ready for a fun game about Christmas?
Always.
Hell yeah.
Okay, today we are in honor of your Christmas movie and Christmas movies past.
Yes.
Rebecca. We're going to play a game called Jolly or Folly. And I have listed some of the best Christmas things and you're going to vote jolly, you like it, folly, no thank you.
This better not just be Christmas movies, is it?
It's not Christmas movies. It's things to do with the holiday season.
Oh,
she's got this holiday movie. I thought I would make
the same boyfriend.
That is so weird.
Okay, having the same boyfriend in a holiday movie, jolly or folly?
Jolly.
Jolly.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Jolliest. That wasn't on my list. Okay, regifting, jolly or folly?
Jolly.
Jolly.
It's great.
Jolly.
Jolly. I just regifted flowers to somebody.
No. Like fresh cut flowers?
Yeah.
As long as it's like the same day or a day after,
no, it was
then you're
the
cool.
same day.
So there you
How?
Go.
How? Why?
How? Somebody gave them to me when we. Why did? Maybe it was people's. No, maybe it was the when our show aired, and then it was somebody else's birthday that same
no.
day. So I was like,
"You're a dick."
I'm gonna buy flowers anyways. Like, what's the
damn? That was awesome. All right. Okay, holiday music.
She didn't know. Jolly or folly? Or is that
yeah.
the jolly?
Oh,
depends.
It
though.
Depends what the music.
I know.
Is.
It really does depend.
Nope.
What the music.
If
is.
It's Mariah Carey. Jolly.
Jolly okay. all the way.
Jolly. Jolly.
Jolly
like
too.
A country Christmas?
Office. Jolly, yeah. Office Christmas parties.
Folly.
As good
fuck.
Thing I don't have to deal with that. It's a folly.
Folly. It's also a folly for me. I don't want to spend any more time with you. And secondly, or like a hundredthly, this year they decided to have an outdoor carnival here at CBS. And guess what? All the stars. I said all the stars. All the hosts.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Like, Gordian slip. You wish.
All the stars of E.T., a.k.a. me, are, we have to be in a dunk tank.
A
yes.
Tank.
No.
You're getting dunked in the middle of December?
Yeah.
Oh, my
Wait,
God.
When is
and
this?
You
you're not invited.
I gotta go. Becca and I are dunking you.
Next. Okay, thank you.
Dick.
Gonna
okay.
Do you want to dunk, Kelty?
Absolutely.
Mistletoe, jolly or folly?
I mean... I don't really believe
I've never
in mistletoe.
Done. I know. I've never like.
I don't know
I've
if I've ever done mistletoe.
You've been married for 100,000 years and you've never gone under the mistletoe.
Never had a mistletoe to go under. Okay. Like I don't.
Does
feel
anybody
like it
actually use mistletoe, or is
I
that
like
one
it.
Of those you do?
I think it's cute when you walk in.
Do you have it like at your house?
I'll put some up. I don't right now, but I will.
And
for
you
next
follow
week.
The direct, like obviously you follow
the directions.
Of mistletoe.
The directions. Okay, you both suck. Eggnog.
Boo.
I want to
folly.
I want to say jolly too. Well,
I want to say jolly, but it
I
is,
hate it so much.
It's
so
kind
gross.
Of gross, and the thought of getting too drunk on eggnog and throwing it up.
Yeah.
So
it's
folly.
It's like egg whites, right?
Okay.
I mean, is there
it
actually?
Just,
it's just.
I
it's
think
just
it
creamy.
Is egg whites.
This is nasty.
You can get vegan eggnog.
Are you an anti-mayonnaise person?
Actually, I don't mind a little bit on a sandwich. A little bit.
Okay.
A BLT.
Okay.
I have to have it on a BLT.
Oh, or else okay. it's
but
dry as
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
We can be friends then.
Okay,
people
good.
Who say
you
it's not
mayonnaise, right?
Love it.
Okay, extra mayonnaise always.
My husband.
Sorry, okay, this is not part of the game, everyone. Please avert your ears for this section. People who say, it's not Christmas without snow.
Folly, that's like all of my Christmases since I've been in LA. So, yeah. I mean, folly. Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. I love a snowy Christmas.
Wait, can I ask a question?
What?
Can I go off topic? Were you shooting in winter or were you faking
September.
It?
Okay. It was hot.
It was hot.
It was so
did
very
did you get fake
hot.
Snow?
Wait. When did I, when was I in, I shot.
May.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah.
Cool. Back to Becca.
I did. There was one scene where we had to do a wide shot walking in the snow with the snow falling down for this like romantic scene. And literally the floor was, it was caught a big piece of cotton and I was wearing heels. Mm. I was literally
getting stuck in it,
picking the floor up with every step with four wind blowers just shoving and screaming in my ears. And I was like, what are we? I can't. I don't, it was like my one little hissy fit. I don't really do hissy fits. Yeah. And I didn't really have a real hissy fit, but I was just like, I don't know how to actually do my job right now.
I got cotton all over me. I can't actually walk.
I can't actually do the blocking that's happening. Taking the floor with me. Yeah, it was funny.
Anyway. Holiday family cards.
Oh, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about this later.
Okay, well,
Kelty
sorry.
Is what, getting what is so mad.
I'm not mad at all. Talk about it. I'm chill. I'm going to eat a snack. Talk about, back to your movie, Becca.
We have a lot in common right now. We basically did the same job, okay?
Becca wants to talk about her movie again.
What
I'm
are
sorry,
you talking
Sarah.
About? The star of E.T.? Oh, my God. At least I have something in common, and that is why I'm discussing it. When's the last time I talked about my Christmas movie? You usually
never.
Avoid it. I will avoid it, okay? Star, continue, please.
Kelty the star.
I'm coming to that f***ing dunk tank.
I think you guys should be called stars. That's what I think.
Oh,
I
mean, please don't even do this now. To Kelty.
Sarah, let's hold hands.
Don't do this.
Didn't you just get a TV deal?
Yes.
Yeah, but that means we're all stars.
You're all stars.
Barely.
Equal stars. Equal stars.
Equal
stars. But they do put my name first. It is alphabetical, but...
I'm glad you finished with that.
Wait, alphabetical by our last names?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that sucks for me.
All right. Well, this is over.
Okay.
When we come back, Sarah's going to help you figure out your life.
Hey, ladies!
Funky.
Ask the Lady Gang.
Okay, so for this part of the podcast, our listeners write in questions and we give them questionable advice.
Oh, fantastic.
You ready?
Okay.
First question comes from Anonymous. Anonymous says, I'm 23 years old and have been married to my husband for 1 year. We lived together before we got married. He's a few years older than me. I know I'm super young, but I feel like I didn't just get married because I was bored like most of the girls do where I live. Mm. Now he dropped a bomb on me and told me he doesn't love me anymore. Oh, no. He said he fell out of love with me and doesn't want to work on it. I don't know what to do. I'm pushing therapy and he is so distant. I've asked if there is another woman and he says there isn't. He's been so brutally honest. I don't think he's lying about that. Plus, I've snooped and I can't find anything. How do I get through this and when is the time to let go?
The time to let go is now, and I think there probably is another woman or something.
I feel like if you're not willing to put any effort, you know, I feel like that says to me that there's somebody else in the picture. I mean, who knows, but to not be willing to put any work into it, to just say, I just feel differently and that's the end of it and I don't want to try anything, feels to me like there's somebody else that he wants to be around.
They're 23.
Right now.
Well, you're so young to begin with. And I know probably getting divorced that young feels like such a failure. Kelty?
I did it.
Yeah.
There is shame involved, like Sarah was talking about before. There's a shame where you're like, I failed at this. But also, on the other side of it, is a Chris Knight. You know what I mean?
Well,
there's a guy that's going to be, like, obsessed with you, and you're going to be a little bit older, and you're going to be able to really enjoy it. And
there is nothing better than being single in your 20s and figuring your shit out. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to be the best thing that's ever happened to you. And, like, you don't want to beg your husband to stay with you.
If
he doesn't
want to
stay with you, he doesn't want
to
stay with you. So it is what it is. Like, there's nothing that you can do to get past it, really, and, like, change his mind. Especially with men, like, flip the switch. You can't
they switch it and it's gone.
Yeah.
It's switched.
Can't do it.
Becca? Yeah.
She's like, well, I've never been dumped, so I don't know.
It's true. No, we learned this week that I was dumped in the fourth grade by Sean McVay, the head coach of the Rams.
I would like to also say, I can't believe I'm saying his name. I love it.
Putting him on blast, Sean McVay.
I realize that I haven't been dumped in my adult life either. The last person I was dumped by was our mutual ex-boyfriend when I was 18.
He dumped you?
Yeah, he cheated on me.
Oh, yeah.
With his ex-girlfriend.
I get dumped all the time.
Yeah, but I bet he wanted to stay with you. So that's not really him dumping you.
I don't think he wanted to stay with me.
Oh, okay. consider this a new chapter. And I know it's really hard. Like, when things end abruptly, it can feel like the world is crumbling into a million pieces and you're never going to survive it. Mm-hmm. But you do. And I think that the important thing is to remember what Kelty said is on the other side of this, there is most likely another person who's going to be something you probably can't even imagine at this moment because you're hooked on this one person. Mm-hmm. But life is long, mm-hmm. and you are going to meet somebody who feels the same way that you feel about them and who isn't going to like walk away after a year of marriage.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And you do so much growing in your
20s. Oh my gosh. So much.
So much changing so in your 20s. You become a completely different human by the time you hit 30.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like really beautiful growth that can happen through pain, I think.
Absolutely.
I agree.
I'm excited for her. All right. Next question comes from retired undercover biatch.
Interesting.
Ooh. Interesting name. She says, my old childhood friend and I had a weird fallout this year. The last couple times we hung out, she honestly had a bad attitude or acted like she didn't want to be there and very single. 3 months pass and she's engaged. Another month passes and she's married. I grew up thinking we would be each other's maid of honor. I was hurt and angry, so instead of confronting her, I just unfollowed all social media. Wait, I'm confused about this so far.
Keep going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then she's pregnant. A baby shower invite is sent to my house but addressed to my mom only. Today my mom told me that her baby passed the day he was born. Oh, shit. I'm overwhelmed with regret and complete sadness. Definitely feel so shitty about the whole thing. I feel shitty because I let this year go by and didn't bother to ask what the hell is going on and attempt to mend our friendship. Do I reach out or send a letter? So
basically, she had this friend. They had a fallout. Then all of a sudden, she met a guy. They got married very quickly. They got pregnant.
She
had the baby. The baby didn't make it. And now she's feeling like, you were my childhood friend. Even though we fell out, should I have reached back out? Like, now she doesn't know what to do.
Right.
I mean, I say reach out.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's nothing. Look, it requires vulnerability and courage to reach out in a moment like this. It's a lot easier just to remain a ghost in this situation. But you could wind up being exactly what this friend needs, and this friend could wind up being exactly what you need in mm-hmm. this moment, especially in this moment of grief. I just feel like grief does extraordinary things to bind people and connect people and help people to grow and heal. And if forgiveness is possible in the future, I feel like it's more likely to happen in a moment like this.
Yeah. And it's like at a time like that, too, it's like she might have been pushing her other friends away as well. And when you're going through something that's so tough like that, like having that familiarity of somebody that you've known for your whole life and has been such a good friend for you for so long mm-hmm. is probably like absolutely necessary for her. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. And I think reach out, but don't have any expectations.
Yeah.
Like just do what you have to do. And like so that you can feel like if you tossed out the olive branch,
yeah,
it's there for her to grab.
Mm-hmm.
And if she doesn't, that's her prerogative. And, you know, nothing is like permanent. So, yeah. You know, a couple months from now, she could reach out again.
And mm-hmm. she shouldn't feel shitty or guilty for anything because she didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
No.
What was the other? Yeah. All right. Ooh, last question. Thomas.
A dude?
A man.
Interesting.
Hi, Lady Gang. First of all, I am also one of the five guys who listens to this podcast, and I am straight.
Fantastic.
I came to know Lady Gang because I stalked Becca's Instagram after I watched Glee. Still straight. I find your podcast very entertaining and you are all hilarious. To why I'm writing. I'm 18 years old and still a virgin and unkissed. I love him. Do I have to worry about that? Won't it be embarrassing kissing an experienced and probably having an experienced person and probably having sex the same night for the first time too? Should I tell her?
Sex with the first person.
Oh my god! Should I tell her whoever she will be if it happens? in like 5 years, or should I just leave afterwards to sideline the embarrassment? What do you think? Oh my God, Thomas.
I was a virgin when I got married. I was 21, and so was my husband.
No,
I was 25.
So you figured it out together?
We figured it out together, and it was amazing.
Wow. But not right away.
No, no, no.
That's why you've been married so long.
How was your first time?
I was very anxious.
Sure.
It definitely took several times before.
Yeah,
for sure. You just have to figure it all out. But I think I just don't know. I feel like there's so much pressure. He doesn't have to put that kind of pressure on himself. Like if he's the person who's 18 and hasn't kissed anyone and hasn't had sex yet, then like I'm guessing he's gonna really care about who this person is that he does this with. And so if you're in that kind of an encounter, then it's going to be kind and lovely and sweet, and he doesn't have to worry about how that person is going to feel. I think he should take the pressure off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I was a virgin until I was like 23, and I had my first kiss when I was 18. So I'm like the girl version of him.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's like, number one, it's probably, I disagree with you that it's going to probably be kind and sweet and amazing. It's probably going to fucking suck. And he might come a little bit early, and it will be probably weird. But I don't know. Yeah, just don't worry about it. Like, he's so young. He's 18 years old. Like, he can figure it out, and he'll be fine.
Yeah.
The thing is that, like...
And you don't have to say anything.
First-time sex is kind of awkward for everyone, even if it's, like, the first time you're doing it or the first time you're doing it with someone new. Like, it's very rarely like it is in the movies where, like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
The best sex comes after you're with someone for a long time, and there's, like, that level of trust, and you know each other, I think. I mean, there's something hot about, like, a one-night stand, I guess.
Like,
I've never had one, but I, like, assume.
No, but it is,
based
like,
on porns. I don't know.
As an experienced one-night stander.
A truthful representation of how one-night stands go.
Very realistic. No, it is. It's hard enough to, like, when you're having sex with a new person to begin with, even if you're both experienced sexual
people.
Yeah, it's
weird.
It's still weird.
No matter what.
You don't know what the other person likes, and maybe you're using what your last partner liked, and it's always
off. Weird.
Yeah. 18 is not it's not old to be a virgin.
And nobody should be having sex that young anyways, in my opinion.
But I think people are having sex when they're like 11 years old now.
What?
I know.
It's too young. It's too young.
There's no way these little kids are using condoms, do you think?
I don't know. Why don't we ask them? 11-year-olds that are listening to the Lady Gang podcast.
I still feel like I was not ready to have sex when I had sex for the first time.
Of course. No one's ready.
And I was in my 20s. Like, that...
It requires so much vulnerability.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not just like naked in body. You're naked and you're just opening your whole self up. And there's a fear of like not doing well or not pleasing the other person or not
probably
being pleased yourself.
Especially as a guy, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of pressure. I don't think
good
that
luck,
we
Thomas.
Should put on.
I know.
Him.
No,
good
Thomas,
luck.
You'll be fine.
Thomas, you're gonna be great.
Jack will have sex with you. Come on, tell
that
I'm just kidding.
Is almost legal. Also, you know, maybe when you're 21, have a few drinks.
Yeah.
And like loosen the mood, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. Okay.
When you're 21.
On that note, Sarah, thank you for coming. You can follow Sarah on social media at the Sarah Drew with an H, Sarah, and check out her new Christmas movie, Holiday Pen Pals, on Lifetime December 15th, because we love Christmas movies and we love her. And thank you for the great advice. Thank you for being courageous and vulnerable to come on the Lady Gang.
Yeah.
You really hang.
I know it's like it's really hard for you.
You hanged with the ganged.
I love it.
And we will see you next Tuesday.
Yay!
Woo!
Join the Lady Gang every Tuesday at iTunes and at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com. Thanks for listening.